Well, I'm pretty excited just to get back out there and play some footy. I love the game and I've missed it so much over the last 2 years.
Not many times Melbourne get a chance to play Friday night, so we'll make the most of it.
We're playing Collingwood, and anytime I see a magpie, I just target it because it just gets me in the right mindset.
Last year was last year and there's nothing we can do about it.
I don't think I played a game in a short sleeve jumper my whole life until I got divorced. But when you got linguine arms like me, you don't tend to show them off.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Jumping inside the Inner Sanctum at the Western Bulldogs today, and we welcome back an old favourite who has dominated the last couple of weeks. Marcus Bontempelli, good morning to you after 2 wins in a row.
Good morning, gents. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you very much for jumping on. Tell us, what was it like heading to Sydney, and what's life been like over the last couple of weeks since that GWS win?
Yeah, it was a pretty smooth travel to Sydney, which is, clearly with the current restrictions with travelling, it's obviously same day travel as you play. So there was a couple of things you need to adjust to that are a little bit different, but clearly the game being the priority, it was nice for us to follow up from the GWS win with another one in Sydney and once again just play our brand and our style of football and on a more consistent level. So that was obviously the key, and to come away with a win was great. It's the last few weeks have certainly been better from a form point of view. The first couple we weren't anywhere near our best, and that sort of showed on the scoreboard. So for us to be able to sort of bounce back and put 2 wins together now is really encouraging and great for us to be able to think about hopefully continuing the momentum.
So take us through your Thursday last week. What's the process now for an AFL player travelling on game day? And then I assume you stayed overnight because Sydney have that stupid curfew where you can't get out until the next day.
Correct. So we all just met at the airport at about, I think it was 9:15-ish. We had a 10 o'clock flight out of the Melbourne jet base and really smooth when you compare it to, you know, probably having to go to the Melbourne airport and then obviously go through the different security measures and a few other obviously things that come with flying. This was a hell of a lot smoother and easier. So you basically get there, you're checked and basically just waiting in the lounge till you walk virtually onto the tarmac and onto the plane, and you're pretty much off within the space of 10 or 15 sort of minutes. So it's really quick. You land and then there's a bus there waiting for you. You come straight off the bus, grab your bag, and then you're on the bus and heading to the team hotel. So we pretty much were there at about lunchtime, which meant that we had a few hours to really chill out. Some blokes would sort of eat, go for a walk, have a bit of a kip, and then start preparing for the game.
It honestly, in my head, I picture you blokes walking like you're criminals on Con Air. You know, remember that movie back in the day? Is that what it feels like? You know, you're jumping onto the private plane, you're on, you get a bus, you get ferried straight to the hotel. It must be a weird feeling.
It probably feels the opposite. It feels like you're a bit more of an A-lister, I reckon, than anything. Like, it's quite smooth. You're just pretty much waiting. There's not too much sort of to-ing and fro-ing. You're virtually in. You can obviously have a coffee or something at the jet base, but everything's all really well planned out. So credit to the AFL and the clubs for being able to organise it that way.
Now, Bod, I don't really want to take you back here, but I want to ask the question. Cast your mind back to after the St Kilda game. The walls are closing in, first-year captain, all that sort of stuff. What did you do different, or did you do anything different in straight after that game?
Yeah, not too much, to be honest with you. I think I had pretty good faith and belief that we'd work our way out of it. You're never too sure at that point in time how long it's going to take. But as a young, obviously, captain, there was probably everyone sort of looks to your lead a little bit, and I just try to keep things as normal and as simple as possible. And I think that's what you find when things get a little bit hairy at times in football clubs. The more simple you can keep it and the more normal you can keep things, the sooner you find yourself getting back to your best. And that was for me sort of personally and the group as a collective as well. So, you know, the belief was certainly still there. We just obviously needed to feel that we could play the way that we could again. And obviously a big challenge off the back of the St Kilda game was coming up against the Giants. So to play, you know, the style and the brand that we wanted to straight off the back of that St Kilda game was really encouraging. And then to continue it on again against Sydney was another good sign, I think.
There's nothing fake about the Giants dogs' hatred, is there? This is legit. And I'm not just saying because you're at the centre of most of it, but it's legit.
Oh, there's definitely a strong, I think, rivalry, you'd probably call it, just because of the, over the years, the different things that have happened, the big games that we've played in. And I think we both teams probably look forward to the game each year. But, I certainly enjoy having a team, you know, from a rivalry perspective. And it just gives it, I guess, that little bit more to a game in the season.
Your bemused look when Haynes walked to the centre square that night is still one of the great images of the season, Bond.
You reckon? Oh, yeah. Obviously, they chose to do sort of what they did, but I didn't probably really pick up on it at the time.
You
I
look confused.
It was maybe a milestone game or something. I was more thinking, and I said this after the game, about how I was going to address the boys off the back of the sort of coin toss. So understanding it wasn't, you know, my call, heads or tails. So in my back of my mind, it's like, all right, how am I going to address the boys? So, I was sort of thinking of other things at the time.
At the coin toss, are you a heads man or a tails man? And do you go the same way every time?
I always probably tend to go towards the Bulldog sort of cheer squad end, I reckon. That's just probably a natural thing that's sort of always been done at Marvel. Obviously, there's no real wind to consider when the roof's closed. I'll probably make it up as I get. I go, well, I go heads today or tails. I actually don't have a routine. I just change it up based on how I'm feeling. So that might be a bit different.
Now, we have a new cold hero at your club, Bailey Smith. I mean, the hair just speaks for itself. But this kid is becoming something quite special quickly.
He is, and it's no surprise to any of us at the football club. He played, I think, every game in his first season last year, which is an incredible achievement at such a young age. But he's the ultimate sort of competitor and trainer, and loves to get the best out of himself. And he trains so bloody hard, which is so impressive for a young kid. And it's starting to really show in terms of how much influence he's having for us, especially at like I said, such a young age. So we've got to be careful of not relying on these young blokes too much, because they are still young, but we're getting a lot of bang for buck with his ball use and his finishing, and he's a skillful player. So he's playing a big part for us, especially the last 2 weeks.
Someone showed me his Instagram account and the rig, Bond. It's next level.
It's up there. It's up there with some of the best I've seen, mate.
For 18.
Oh, well, he sort of walked into the football club like that. So it's not like it's developed. It was sort of like, poor, we've drafted a robot. But he's super impressive, mate, with just how he goes about his thing. So, we're getting, like I said, a lot of value and a lot out of what he's doing at the minute, football-wise.
And I joked about the hair, but does he have any explanation, or what's his aim? Is there an end game here?
I don't think so. Based on the conversations I've had with him, it's just growing, and he loves sort of the mullet, and he cuts it himself. So, plus everyone else loves it, so I think that helps to probably keeping it a lot longer, and there's a bit of fandom around it. But, it's just an element to his sort of quirky personality.
Your contested marking, this is just from a personal perspective, your contested marking on the weekend was a thing of beauty to watch, and you were courageous going back with the flight a couple of times. Is that something you've been working on over the last year or so to improve in your game?
Yeah, it's probably been something I've looked at probably for a few years, about you're always looking for different growth areas, and obviously being that little bit taller from a midfield perspective, the opportunities to get maybe down the line, and whether that's, you know, offensive and forward, or obviously back as well to help support our defence. So trying to bring it into my game has probably been something I've looked at in and had different conversations with regard to. But, you're just looking for opportunities to improve, obviously, and obviously hurt the opposition. So it probably came out a little bit more in that game, which is nice. But you're always looking for opportunities to test the opposition out. So it was good. It was good to obviously deliver on a couple of those.
State of the game's being debated, Bont, big time. Does it feel messier than previous for you out there?
I think there's always going to be sort of good games and bad games. And I think right now, when you consider we've had a very different sort of lead in and build in, probably sort of skill wise, and from our perspective, I guess we're always trying to play, I guess, an attacking sort of brand that helps us sort of score. But there's a lot of different elements that are probably contributing to this year's season that haven't to previous. So, I mean, ultimately, you know, there's shortened games as well too. So if we're talking from a scoring perspective, we can't get as many scores maybe because the quarters are shorter. But I think the game ends up eventually finding a way. So we'll just continue to do our best to play a good brand of football.
What was your reaction yesterday when you heard of all the fixture changes for this week? Did you initially think, oh, here we go, this is what it's going to be like every week, or were you shocked by it? How did you feel?
I think a little bit. I think my mentality, and probably as a whole, and probably as a, you know, AFL wide, is you're expecting the unexpected sort of at different at any given moment. When you consider all the changes probably that have already happened, you're already half understanding that things will continue to change. So that's sort of my mindset with it all, that obviously there's going to be shifts, and sometimes big ones, sometimes small ones, but you've just got to be ready to adapt however you can.
Aaron Norton going down, Bond, it's a big loss. He was just starting to really get into his groove even in that game. Well, have you spoken to him, and what are we, is it the 4-6 we think it is?
Yeah, like you said, he was starting to really hit his straps, get into his groove for sure, especially, like you said, in that game. But I've spoken to him. I think it looks like 6 at this point, which is obviously a bit of a dint. Unfortunate for him, but obviously as a team as well, we're going to miss his impact and influence. So just the harsh reality of the game that we play. But as we do in football clubs, you sort of look for the opportunities for others to potentially get a go. So it'll be good to see who can step up and find an opportunity to do a bit of a job for us.
Marcus Bontempelli, Western Bulldogs captain, has joined us. But I know you took on the captaincy this year, and it's been a big transition for you. But do you ever sit back and you think, geez, of all years to take over, this is just about as hard as it gets?
It might have crossed my mind in the early stages. I think when obviously the COVID stuff hit, I was like, oh, what are the odds of, you know, taking over? It would have been nice just to have a smoothish transition. But I sort of look at it like, well, good opportunity to learn and understand how to cope in really difficult situations. And that's probably been the thing that's obviously I'll reflect on over many sort of years and have along my tenure as skipper of the football club. But I think it'll help me. But certainly at times I was a bit almost not laughable, but like it was funny how it how it all happened at this point in time. But like I said, good chance to learn and take things forward for me as a leader.
One of the early issues you had to deal with was Lachie Hunter, of course, and his indiscretion during the COVID shutdown. He's, I think, got one more game left in his suspension. How's he been going around the club? Because it must be hard for him seeing everyone train and then play, and he's still a couple of weeks away from returning to the side.
Yes, I guess that's a byproduct of the decisions that he made, and he's made a really good concerted effort, and you can tell how hard he's sort of working to try and earn some of the trust that he's lost back, and that's obviously a really encouraging sign for Lachie and us as leaders and the football club to see that he obviously wants to I think repay the faith that he's probably lost. So he's continuing to work, not just from a football perspective, but he's obviously off-field leadership as well to try and help and support, you know, every player on the list and especially the leadership group. But some really encouraging signs for Lachie, and as, you know, I've probably said before, he just needs to continue to do that and let his actions sort of do the talking.
One of the beauty of the coach, Bont, is he likes playing kids. He's not scared to play them. And Butler last week and Vandermeer, you found a couple already this season.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have been able to bring, I guess, obviously some of the young ones in when you're going obviously a bit better. First 2 weeks, clearly we didn't get, like I mentioned, anywhere sort of near our best. But for Laith and as you said, Louis Butler to come in when we're sort of playing the brand and style we want to a little bit better, it does make it easier, and especially for their own experiences to play in a win or two early. So really encouraging signs, and you just then therefore look for other opportunities to let other players do similar things. But both, especially Latham, he's played a couple now and had some pretty strong influence for us as a young, quick but strong type. So and Louis obviously a half back who can run and join in back there. So really encouraging signs there.
Did you forgive him for burning you on that open pass? What game was that? Was that a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, what game was that? It was. He knew about it. I gave him a mulligan because it was his first game, and I thought, oh well, next time, mate, just little hand pass into the pocket. But he's a funny young kid, Lath.
But at this stage, you are playing North Melbourne this week. Fingers crossed that goes ahead. It might change the next 24 hours. You never know. All the best for that and the coming weeks. And we'll catch up again soon on the Breakfast Club when half of Wadi are back from their week's rest.
Sounds good. Thanks, gents.